Let's be real. Life happens. Kids spill. Pets shed. And accidents are inevitable. That's why you need a washable sofa that can keep up. Our sofas are fully machine washable, inside and out, so you can say goodbye to stains and hello to worry-free living. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, they're kid-proof, pet-friendly, and built for everyday life. Plus, changeable fabric covers let you refresh your sofa whenever you want. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa anytime to fit your space, whether it's a growing family room or a cozy apartment. Plus, they're earth-friendly and trusted by over 200,000 happy customers. Starting at just $699, it's time to upgrade to a stress-free, mess-proof sofa. Visit washablesofas.com today and save. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, happy 100 days, America. Wow. It's almost like somebody put Red Bull on President Trump's Fruit Loops. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. I am Todd Starnes, your host, your voice of truth and hope across this great nation. Wow, we've got a lot to talk about today. And, of course, we are celebrating the first 100 days of the Trump administration. And it's really been remarkable when you just step back and you look at the breadth of what we're talking about here. It is very clear to me at this stage of the game that Donald J. Trump is the most consequential president of the 21st century, and quite frankly, could be the most consequential president in modern American history. That's how important Donald Trump is to our nation. And I want you to remember this. If you don't celebrate anything else, we have to celebrate the fact that we are 100 days farther away from the far leftist policies that were dragging this country down the path of socialism and communism. And Donald Trump, he didn't just tap on the brakes, he slammed on the brakes and whipped the car around and is hurtling down the highway of freedom to Liberty Land. And I love that, ladies and gentlemen, about this president. Over the past 100 days, this president has signed over 150 executive orders. It really is remarkable. And tonight, the president's going to be in Michigan holding a huge rally, and we're going to be talking about that. We'll be providing coverage later tonight on our website. But I'm telling you right now, folks, that without Donald Trump, this country would have been destroyed. There would be no America if Kamala Harris had been elected president. My only issue now, and by the way, I'm grading President Trump with an A++. This guy has exceeded all of my expectations. The administration, I'm going to give him a B. The Congress, I'm looking at about a D or a D-. Because keep in mind, out of the more than 150 executive orders that the president has signed, I think Congress has only managed to codify maybe at the most 4 or 5. So they've got to get to work. They've got to keep up with President Trump. And I would say this, not that I'm a fan of cocaine at all, but I would suggest maybe they need to put some Red Bull on their Fruit Loops. They've got to put a pep in their step to keep up with this president. I'm just saying, they've got to do something a little different here, folks. So anyway, we're going to be taking your calls on this. How do you think the president's doing? Good, bad, indifferent, give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Here is a grandma, the cable newsers are going out there and they're hunting down people and they're sticking the microphones in their faces. And by and large, everybody is very happy with where the country is right now. Cut 16.
I am totally excited. Everybody I know is excited. My biggest issue is the border, and he's killing it. Well, absolutely, everybody that's here illegally should go. I'm not one of these that, oh, the poor person. No, they need to go. They came in illegally.
Yeah, I'm with you, Grandma. And people, literally, everybody there they've been talking to at these diners, everybody is on board with Donald Trump. So I want to circle back to something that we talked about yesterday. The president of the United States, when you look at all of this polling data, you can't believe it. And here's how we know. If the president was in dire straits, I would be hearing it from you. I would be hearing it from the people that were posting things on my social media pages. And I am telling you, tens of millions of you are on my social media platforms every single day. And I haven't heard any Trump supporters say they can no longer support this president. Not a one. Not a one. For there to be a massive shift in opinion towards Donald Trump, it would have to be something catastrophic and historic, because those numbers just are not adding up. So I believe that the media is colluding with the pollsters to try and take down Donald Trump. I just don't believe any single poll that's out there, period. Now, I will say this, Scott Jennings over at CNN, give this guy another raise. I don't know how he's able to do it, but he's able to take on five or six leftists at the same time. And Jennings points out why Donald Trump is so very popular right now. Cut 15.
So I have a different point of view. I actually think it's still their best issue. And I think when it all shakes out, what are they going to be able to say? Donald Trump effectively closed the southern border just by taking office and changing the attitude of the federal government. They have deported lots of violent criminals. And frankly, they are sending a different message than the previous administration. You know, the old way was, hey, just get here and we'll find a way and it'll probably work out for you. The new message is, don't come here. Please don't come here. And now people know that we mean it. When it all shakes out, I think we're going to find that Donald Trump inherited the biggest mess of all was on immigration. He had the biggest cleanup job to do on it. And he ultimately did what he had to do to bring order to it. So I still think it's their best issue. I still think they're going to lean into it. And obviously, it's the issue that motivated his campaign way back in 2015 in the first place. And he stuck with it all the way through. I still think it's their number one issue.
And it is. It's all about illegal immigration. And the president's got to keep up the numbers. By the way, Michelle Obama's out there, and she's all upset. And the reason why Michelle Obama, Big M, is upset is because President Trump is deporting all these people. And she said that she just can't sleep at night because of all of the deportations, of all the illegals. She says what Donald Trump is doing is actually keeping her up at night. Now, we did a little bit of research on this and comes to find out that her husband actually deported more than 11 million people. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Her own husband, I mean, what Trump has deported, maybe 100,000 people or so right now. Meanwhile, Big M's husband, he deported 11 million people. And my question is very simple to Michelle Obama, as she was on this podcast. Did she have a problem sleeping while her husband was president of the United States? Did Michelle Obama, did her fear of the knock at the door at the White House cause her to lose sleep? Now, again, the average American, and a lot of folks in the media, they don't get this, but the average American has been impacted by illegal immigration, whether it's the cartel violence, whether it's somebody's kid getting killed by an illegal, whether it's the fentanyl deaths. And I would say out of all of those, more Americans have been impacted by the fentanyl epidemic than anything else, or these terrorists that are crossing our borders. But none of that bothered Michelle Obama. Michelle Obama never lost any sleep over that. She never lost any sleep over the terrorist crossings. She never lost any sleep when the illegals are out there raping and murdering sweet, precious American young ladies. That doesn't bother Michelle Obama. So do we have this audio? I want to listen. This is Michelle Obama talking about the fear that keeps her up at night.
Couldn't be. We couldn't walk around saying valedictorian, straight A student, speaks excellent, has excellent diction if you give them a chance. Mm-hmm. You know, we knew very early on that no one was going to see beyond the color of our skin at an early age. And that could get you in trouble.
Yeah. I mean, when you talk about that fear, I'm sure that fear has been tested across your life in so many different places. And I wonder, what would you say has been the most hardest recent test of that fear? Because it's not one of those fears that you kind of get over and it just goes away. It kind of shows its head in many different ways, I imagine.
Well, in this current climate for me, it's, you know, what's happening to immigrants. You know, so it's not the fear for myself anymore. I drive around in a 4-car motorcade with a police escort. I'm Michelle Obama. I do still worry about my daughters in the world, even though they are somewhat recognizable. So my fears are for what I know is happening out there in streets all over the city. And now that we have leadership that is sort of indiscriminately determining who belongs and who doesn't, and we know that those decisions aren't being made with courts and with due process, and, you know, that it's being made like this cop that pulled my brother over when he was 12. You don't look like somebody that belongs. You know, I can determine just by looking at you that you're a good person or you're not a good person. And knowing that there's so much bias and so much racism and so much ignorance that fuels those kind of choices, I worry for people of color all over this country. And I don't know that we will have the advocates to protect everybody. And that makes me, that frightens me. It keeps
all right.
me up.
So that's what keeps Michelle Obama up at night, ladies and gentlemen. Her husband deports millions and millions of illegals, which we're very thankful for. Thank you, President Obama. President Trump, though, deports a little over 100,000, and now all of a sudden it's a problem for Michelle Obama. By the way, this woman is incorrigible. She would have you believe that race relations in America are just as bad as they were before the Civil War. I mean, this woman is a perpetual victim. She is walking victimhood right here. All right, we've got to take a quick break here. We're going to be taking your calls. What are you happy that President Trump has done? What is the president not done that you want to see him do? Give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. America doesn't need barbed wire or secret police to lose freedom. All it takes is silence. Live Not by Lies is a gripping docuseries by Angel Studios that reveals how soft totalitarianism is creeping into everyday life. Through powerful stories from people who lived under communism, it warns of what happens when we surrender truth for safety. This is a must-watch for anyone who loves faith, family, and freedom. Stream the series now, only on Angel Guild, by visiting angel.com/starns. All right, welcome back. Happy 100 Days, America. And I will say this, that Barack Obama did, and the deportation numbers go from anywhere from about 5 million illegals to 11 million that he deported. Still, that is when you look at Trump's numbers, about 100,000 so far, that's nothing. So we've got to really step up the deportation game and start getting these people removed out of the country. There was a bit of controversy last night, President Trump issuing executive orders, and the president has directed Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth and Attorney General Pam Bondi to determine how the U.S. military could be used for domestic law enforcement. Now, the executive order is called the Strengthening and Unleashing America's Law Enforcement to Pursue Criminals and Protect Innocent Civilians. Trump issued several directives, including the establishment of a legal defense mechanism for law enforcement officers and a crackdown on state and local officials who willfully and unlawfully direct the obstruction of criminal law. Now, let me stop here for a moment. I know a lot of people are starting to pucker up in their wazoos because they're saying, posse comitatus, posse comitatus. That's not what we're talking about here. President Trump isn't looking to declare martial law. But, for example, along our southern border right now, dispatching military personnel to stop the invaders. I believe that's perfectly a noble thing to do and perfectly legal thing to do. The president ordered Hegseth and Bondi to determine how military and national security assets can most effectively be utilized to prevent crime. Now, I know a little of this being in Memphis, Tennessee, where our elected leaders simply refuse to address crime. They refuse to give the Memphis Police Department the tools and the resources they need to stop the gangbangers. It's very well documented. So at that point, why can't the military come in and just sweep out and root out all of the evil and all of the criminal thuggery? What's wrong with that? Because there are others out there who are saying, absolutely not. The military has no right to do that. We would rather the city of Memphis and Detroit and New York City literally be burned to the ground. But you can't do that. And it's a conundrum, because in Memphis, and I don't know what it's like in your community, but in Memphis, by and large, people vote along racial lines. If you're black and a Democrat, you get elected. It doesn't matter if you're qualified or not. They just want to make sure you're black or a Democrat. It doesn't matter if they support law enforcement or not. As long as you're black and a Democrat, you get elected. That's the way it is here. Nobody really likes to talk about that. I don't know why. I mean, it's sort of like the unspoken little secret out there, but I don't mind letting you people know. That's what's going on. You say, Todd, are you a racist? Are you saying that black people can't be good lawmakers? No, not at all. I'm just saying the Democrats can't. It's true for whatever reason. But again, at some point, do we just say, okay, you know what? We're willing to sacrifice our major cities. At what point do you step in? You've got all of these mayors and governors, and they're standing in defiance of President Trump and his orders on eliminating the sanctuary cities. But there are people out there that say the military has no right to operate on American soil. So President Trump is urging the Attorney General and the Defense Secretary to look into this and to see if there is some wiggle room. Because I'm telling you right now, I would welcome military boots on the ground in Memphis, Tennessee, to put down the rebellion, which is what it is. It's a rebellion of gangbangers. That's what I mean. Maybe Oakland, California, for example. I got no problem with that at all. So I'm curious your thoughts on this, ladies and gentlemen. Should the president even consider this? I mean, the president's catching a lot of flack from the libertarians and even some conservatives saying that he should not go down this path. It is a bad path to go down. But I would contend, and others say, well, you know, it's the responsibility of the voters, and if the voters keep electing these pro-criminal lawmakers, well, they deserve to have their cities burned down. I just sincerely disagree with that. I don't want my city to burn to the ground. I really don't. And I suspect you don't either. So we'll see how all of this plays out. But President Trump, I like that he's thinking outside of the box. People in the media are saying, oh, he's a dictator. He's a dictator. He's going to grow a little mustache. We're going to have to goose step. Oh, he's a dictator. No, he is not. President Trump is trying to step in to these lawless cities and try and restore law and order. I respect that. I appreciate that. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. folks, we have some exciting news about MyPillow. They're having their first ever mega sale. Oh, that was, we needed some sound effects.
Where did that come from?
Mega sale. MyPillow having their first ever mega sale on overstock clearance and brand new products. For example, Ben Dieter, you're going to need these. You need 50%. You're going to save over 50% on flannel sheets. Queen size bed only $59.98. King size sheet $69.98, and they sell out fast every year. So you got to get an order that right now. You can also save 30% on their brand new My Crosses. They're designed in the likeness of the one that Mike Lindell has worn every day for over 20 years. They come in men's and women's styles, and they're made right here in the USA. Get the 2025 six-piece My Towel set for only $29.98. Their quantities are extremely low, so you're going to want to get them now before they go. And I can't forget to mention the best-selling standard MyPillow. I have six of them. I like a lot of pillows. $14.98. That is a huge deal. So take advantage of the first-ever mega sale. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. That's 1-800-839-8506. But wait, there's more. Remember that $75 free shipping rule, Ben Dieter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that ship has sailed, baby. The train has left the station. Because right now, for a limited time, every order at MyPillow ships for free. MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. I want to go right away to our Old Glory Bank newsmaker line, and we are honored to have the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development with us, Secretary Scott Turner. Mr. Secretary, hope you're doing well today, and by the way, happy 100 days.
Well, good afternoon to you, Todd. Thank you for having me, and yes, happy 100 days.
You know, it's really fascinating when you look at what all has been accomplished, and one of the things I really appreciate about you, Mr. Secretary, is that you decided to hit the road. And last month, I know that you announced you were traveling across America to meet with folks, local leaders, to see what their communities needed. I'm curious, why did you take that approach?
Yes, sir, Todd. So, you know, myself and our team here at HUD, we want to be able to listen to the people of America. Listen to people on the ground, community leaders, faith leaders, education leaders, elected officials, people that are in the cities, in the communities, doing the work. You know, being in Washington is a great blessing to be able to serve and be the steward of HUD. But the real work is done in the cities and states of our country. You really see the hard work and the ingenuity and the innovativeness and creativity and really the resilience of people across this land and urban, tribal, and rural cities when you go to them. And we did in the first Trump administration, working under Dr. Ben Carson, when we led the Opportunity Zones, we did the same thing. I went to over 70 cities around our country to convene stakeholders, you know, to identify the issues in the cities and the community, and then to come up with strategies of long-term sustainability. And so that's what we're doing now, and we're very blessed to be able to do that.
What I really appreciate is how you're really honing in at HUD on people groups and, for example, providing millions of dollars for housing for Native Americans who are veterans, who served in our nation. Those are the kinds of things that are not getting a lot of headlines. You know, another one, Mr. Secretary, and I'm very excited about this, the $1.4 billion that you guys are sending to North Carolina. Is that right?
Oh, yes, sir. And so, you know, we went to the Oneida tribe in Wisconsin, Oneida Nation, and to announce $2.2 million in available HUD BASH grants. And so that was a huge blessing to be able to announce that and to work with competitive tribes and tribes that are doing a wonderful job as it pertains to our veterans who either are homeless or facing homelessness. And then the $1.4 billion that you alluded to. You know, HUD, we want to be very deliberate and detailed about every dollar and resource that goes out of HUD to make sure that we're serving the people we've been called to serve in a manner of excellence that we've been called to serve them, very efficient and effective. And so, as I've stated before, and I'll say it again, you know, we're mission-minded, Todd. We're mission-minded at HUD. And previous, prior to us being here, the mission was not important, but it has returned, and our focus is the people of this country and those whom we've been called to serve.
Mr. Secretary, I'm curious, you walked into office day one, and what was the thing that surprised you the most about the condition of housing and urban development?
Well, you know, for a couple of years, more than 2 years, there was no leadership per se here because the secretary, the prior secretary, was gone from HUD. And you know, when there's not a leader, the condition of that institution or that entity, if you will, is not going to be what it should. And so we came and we're taking inventory of every program at HUD. We're coming in and we're taking inventory, not just of the programs, but of the budget, personnel, and everything here, because I believe, and we believe as a team, that the American people expect us to be good stewards of a taxpayer dollar. And so that is a priority for us here. And so it wasn't so much, it wasn't a surprise. We anticipated it and knew that HUD had not been performing its most basic functions. When you have 18% increase in homelessness in 1 year, in spite of record funding, when you have public housing authorities in the shape they are, when you have disaster recovery that has been bottled up and because of bureaucracy and red tape, it is no surprise, you know, what was going on here. But we're working very diligently every day with our team to make sure that we're being good stewards over taxpayer money and doing right by people and managing resources well to achieve our mission.
Were you, again, when going into to housing and urban development, I know the president sort of issued this edict for everybody to go into the agencies with really a hacksaw, I guess, to go in there and find all of that wasteful spending. Did you find that in HUD?
Well, yes. Yeah, so, you know, the president is also mission-minded. And he understands stewardship, and he takes his job serious about being a leader of our nation and the free world as it pertains to representing the American people. And so when I say take an inventory, you know, a big part of that was, you know, where is the waste, fraud, and abuse? And so we set up a DOGE task force, and we found about $2.7 billion in savings. $260 million of that was in contracts alone. $4 million was in DEI contracts, which is dead and over at HUD. And then $1.9 billion in funds that were misplaced that should have been deobligated and returned back to the Treasury. And at this point, they have been. And so, yes, sir, we have found waste, fraud, and abuse. We continue to look in areas that we may save in order for us to serve the American people properly.
On the Old Glory Bank Newsmaker line today is the Housing and Urban Development Secretary, Scott Turner. And, Mr. Secretary, you and I have a very close mutual friend, Jack Graham, pastor at Prestonwood Baptist Church. And
that's you, pastor.
Yes. And what's that experience been like, leaving the church and going to work for Washington, going to work in Washington?
Well, yes, sir. You know how much I love Dr. Jack Graham. He's been my pastor for the last 18 years serving there at Prestonwood. And, you know, once you're a pastor, you're always a pastor, a minister of the gospel. I'm not on staff at Prestonwood, obviously, as I've taken this stewardship role of being the secretary of HUD. But, you know, when you have Dr. Graham and your church family and believers all around the world, around America, and then even people on my team that are like-minded and like faith, you know, to come in and to carry out this mission, man, this is one of the most transformative times in my life, and I'm so humbled by this assignment that the Lord has given me, and I intend to carry it out in the best of my ability and in full faith day in and day out.
And not only that, I mean, when you look at Prestonwood, and Dr. Graham has been a dear friend for years, of course, Susie Wiles has a great connection to Prestonwood as well. Yes. It's sort of almost the de facto church of the White House.
Yeah, it is. It's you know, it's always amazing when the Lord brings people together, those that have been knowing each other, and then those that have just met to be a part of this family, to carry out this mission at one of the most critical times in our nation's history. And so myself and our team, every day that we come in here, we understand that it's a gift and that it's a blessing from God. And we tend to do right by it. We're not going to be perfect, but every day we strive for excellence. And so I come in with a smile on my face and joy in my heart. And to have people that you know that are like-minded with you, and then to add others is a tremendous joy.
I mean, it really isn't. I don't mean to be trite here, but it does this whole thing, the entire administration, the reelection, the fact that he was saved twice from an assassin's bullet, it just seems like that God is moving in this country in very mysterious ways. But I can't help but think all of this is a God thing.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, the Bible says in the Psalm, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And for a long time in our nation, Todd, we've turned away from the most foundational principles in our country, Judeo-Christian principles, biblical principles. We are a country of faith, and people are free to worship here. But for many years, in particular the last several years, people of faith, all kinds of faith, have not only been looked down upon, but even been criminalized and looked to be, you know, not good people. But I believe there's a resurgence of the people of God, faith in God in our country. And when you have a president that welcomes that and opens the door to that and encourages that, I believe that's why you see movement and prosperity and blessing in our country. You know, because when you honor the Lord, the Bible says those who honor God, he honors them. And so I'm excited to be just a small piece of the pie and an ambassador, if you will, and part of the army that the Lord is putting together to serve our country.
Well, Mr. Secretary, I know that you're super busy today, and we really appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to come and share from your heart. We're very excited about the great work you're doing at HUD and, of course, the administration as a whole. It is really remarkable. We said earlier, it's like you guys are putting Red Bull on your Fruit Loops out there.
Oh, yes, sir. There's no grass growing under our feet.
No.
And, yes, you know, every day, this is indeed the first 100 days, and we look forward, obviously, to every day that we get to serve our country. But every day is a gift. And with that gift, you know, our aim is to do the best that we can for the American people.
Mm. Mr. Secretary, thank you again. Congratulations. It's just so exciting to have you as a part of the administration, and we'll look forward to getting you back on down the road.
Okay, thank you, Todd. I appreciate you.
All right, Secretary Scott Turner, ladies and gentlemen, the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. May I just say something here for just a moment? This man did something that got zero coverage in the media, and it's shameful, because the last administration left the people of Western North Carolina to die in the cold, in the floodwaters. It's just unacceptable. You might remember, and I know this did not get a lot of coverage in the national media, we talked about it a lot on this program, that literally FEMA was going in, and if you had a Trump sign in your front yard or you had a Trump flag waving in, you know, on the side of your home, they were told, FEMA told their staffers, you bypass those people. Those people do not get any help. Those people do not get any assistance at all. That's what was happening in the last administration. So along comes President Trump, and the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development just sent $1.4 billion to Western North Carolina. So they got rid of all the massive waste. By the way, it only turned out there were 16 people from the government that were sent down there to help the people of Western North Carolina. 16. So President Trump and his administration, they're doing something about all of that. And God bless this man. God bless Scott Turner. And you just heard this man who, by the way, was an associate pastor. And by the way, Scott Turner, an incredibly successful businessman. He played in the NFL. Now he's an associate pastor. He got the call from President Trump, and he left Preston Wood Baptist Church and went to Washington, D.C. These are the kinds of people that Donald Trump is bringing to the country or bringing to the administration. That's what's going on here. So we're very excited about this, And I'm telling you, you get a sense of who Donald Trump is by the people he surrounds himself with. And that's who he did. That's what he did with Scott Turner. All right, we got to take a quick break here, going right to the phones. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
For over 40 years, family-owned Reflections in Gold has been Venice's trusted jeweler. Why? Because they do things differently. Their unmatched customer service means they'll bend over backward to earn your trust. Hi, it's Lulu, and Reflections in Gold has the hottest top brands in jewelry. Or they'll craft a stunning custom design just for you. Need a repair? Their in-house experts will restore your favorite pieces guaranteed. Find them on Tamiami Trail in Venice or at ReflectionsInGold.com. Reflections in Gold, a reflection of your dreams in every piece.
All right, let's go to the phone lines here. Janice in New Orleans. Hi, Miss Janice. What's going on today?
How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
That's good. Let me tell you something, and everybody better listen to me. Last night, I saw it just now. You had it posted online there, and I'm going to share it with people. And I read it last night. I have a wonderful app on my phone, Newsbreak it's called, and everybody should get Newsbreak. You can get local news. You put your zip code in, you get local news from your town and all the, you know, headlines from the country, all kinds of information.
Well, what did you see? What did you see, Miss Janice? Yeah.
I saw something that has me disturbed a little bit. It has me concerned. The thing that you put up on your Facebook. You do not use the Army and the Marines for civil matters. Now, if you have, like after George Floyd, the riots in the streets and the burning of buildings and the cars and the people totally out of control, yeah, it, you know, the mayor, the governor, you call in your state troopers, and I know they have National Guard people, you know, and if I was the president and something like that was happening in the country, I'd get in touch with the governor and I'd offer help and we'd get it under control. But it does not take, you don't call in the United States. When I saw United States military, that to me is just, I don't know. Now, I voted for him. I'll admit I voted for him. And I'm not going to say that I'm against everything he's doing, because I'm not against everything he's doing. I'm forgetting the people that are here illegally out of the country. But you also have to be careful how you do that. You don't want to deport the wrong people. But nonetheless, when you're talking about the United States military, I mean, you know, if someone was trying to break in my house, I'd call my local police. I wouldn't be calling the police and the Marines.
But what if the police didn't show up? What if there weren't any police to deal with the crime?
I know, but you still don't call in the United States Army and the military. You know, I'm beginning to really wonder. The left called him a dictator. He said, I am going to be on day one. I'm going to build a wall and drill, baby, drill. And I laughed. I thought he was being so funny. And he does have a bit of a dry sense of humor. Sometimes he says something and he's making a joke. But in this moment, I don't know what direction this man is going in. I do not need the Marines to come to my house. So, I truly don't.
No, but
people better wake up, start paying attention here, and have a more open mind, because I'm not going to say he's going to do something bad.
So are you starting to buy into this idea that Trump is going to be a dictator and declare martial law and suspend our rights, habeas corpus?
God, I don't know. I do not know. That's what has me concerned. Let's put it this way. I hope and pray to Jesus that that's never going to happen, but I have an open mind. Let me tell you one of the things that helped to open my mind a little bit.
Real
I'm
quick,
never gonna,
yeah.
I'm never going to be a liberal, but, you know. But, no, here's the thing. When Elon Musk said that Social Security was a Ponzi scheme and an entitlement, and then he went to Joe Rogan, then he went and talked to Larry Kudlow, and he was saying about how most of the federal spending's entitlement, so that's what we have to eliminate. Yeah, that began to open my mind a little bit and open my mind. I said, I better start paying attention a little bit more to what is happening instead of just locking myself in like I have since 2007 with the Fox News channel there. And I started listening a little bit to MSNBC. It doesn't mean I'm going to always agree with things they say, because I know that they, you know, some of the liberals, they're more down for open borders and stuff, which I'm definitely against. But it's just that I want to have a little bit open mind now. because I cannot say what Donald J. Trump is going to do, and neither can you. Neither can anybody, because I don't know what's going on with him.
I haven't seen, I know what's going on with him, and the man is very concerned about the millions of illegals, and many of them are very dangerous, that have crossed this border. Many of them could be, in fact, terrorists and sleeper cells. And Trump is looking for a way, using federal law. Again, he's not telling, you know, if Trump was a dictator, he would have said, I am declaring martial law, and we're gonna suspend everybody's rights. That's not what he's doing here, Janice. He's actually saying, I want to investigate this. I want to look into it, which is why he's got the Justice Department looking into it. I'm going to talk more about this. We got to take a quick break here, Janice, but hang tight, everybody. If you're on hold, don't go anywhere, and we'll break down the Posse Comitatus Act. We'll be right back, everybody.
Time for a sofa upgrade? Introducing Anabe Sofas, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices. Anabe brings you the ultimate in furniture innovation with a modular design that allows you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabe is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquids simply slide right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink-in feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today. Sofas start at just $699 with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get up to 60% off, plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Well, hello everybody, welcome to Hour 2 of the Todd Starnes Show. Happy 100 days, and we are asking you to grade the White House. How's President Trump doing? What would you like to see him do that maybe he's not doing? So give us a call, 901-260-5926. Again, 901-260-5926. Now, look, in the last final waning moments of the last hour, the lovely Miss Janice, the Queen of New Orleans, called in, and she's very upset, very concerned about President Trump calling on the Attorney General to investigate whether or not military troops can be used on American soil for law enforcement. And that has stirred the hornet's nest. I want to go to New Bern, North Carolina. Jeannie is on the line, and I understand you were surprised by Miss Janice.
Well, not really surprised, Todd. Good afternoon. I would say that it's very rare that I'm triggered, but the more and more lately that I hear people say things like that, it just makes me a little bit, not angry, but concerned about how we don't have a lot of deep thinkers that are speaking up very often. And I think Janice means well, and I have no big deal with what she said, except I was in the Air Force myself for 8 years, and I went to a leadership school where they spent about a day and a half on how to really ensure that you're not obeying an unlawful order. And one of the things I remember them emphasizing, because they talked about it three times, and that was, you better know what you're doing everywhere you are, and you better know, if you've got a gun in your hand, what your responsibilities, rights, and your duty is. Okay, so they said, if you are ever ordered to use guns against the American people in any context, even if you're a National Guard or whatever, if you're helping out during a disaster, that's one thing. If people are asking you to shoot people, you better be thinking about it very deeply. And it really gets me that lately I've heard a lot of people talking about that it would be just fine to send the military in to do things to citizens, but they're all in a froth about sending, not hurting anybody, but just getting people out of the country that are here illegally. And some of them are oh, I'm so mad, right? Not mad, but I'm sorry. I'm choked up.
No, but look, Jeannie, here's what gets me. Here's what gets me about all of this. So we have been invaded, and we need military force to root out the invaders. That is my greatest concern is we could have simultaneous terrorist attacks across this nation. I think that's the level of concern that President Trump shares. So he's trying to figure out, is there a way under the Constitution that we can use the military? And by the way, Posse Comitatus does not flat out ban the military from being on American soil. So the president is just trying to figure out, okay, is there a way to do this?
I understand that. And what the thing that gets me is there are so many American citizens who have so much compassion for the people who are here illegally and hurting Americans. That's okay. I mean, it's not okay, but they're okay with them staying. They have all this compassion for that, but they don't have any compassion for the American citizen. And I don't understand how they can say, "Oh, anyway." I'm sorry. I'm not.
No. You're making a lot of sense, and I'm with you. Look, yesterday, to give you an example of this, Jeannie, and I appreciate your call. Yesterday, President Trump at the White House instructed them to put up all those yard signs, and the yard signs featured illegal aliens, their names, and what they are accused of doing. These people are already criminals by being in this country illegally, but they have gone above and beyond that by committing violent, heinous crimes against the American people. Do you know that yesterday, and by the way, they posted over 100 of these on the White House lawn, the front lawn, directly in front of what they call Pebble Beach, which is where all the news crews do their live shots from the lawn of the White House. So Jake Tapper last night on CNN to again hone in on Jeannie's point. I want you to listen to cut 17.
The Trump administration is approaching its first 100-day mark with a full court press on the issue of illegal immigration, and they really don't want you to miss it. So they subtly and tastefully deck the White House North Lawn with dozens of yard signs featuring photos of people that the Trump administration claims are in the country illegally, each poster saying arrested and listing the alleged offensive with which they have been charged. CNN's working to confirm the identities and if there are actual allegations against these people. Until then, we are blurring their identities.
They blurred the photos. They're protecting dangerous criminals, men who have sexually assaulted children. They have killed women. These are very violent people, and yet CNN is protecting them. That's what's going on. That's what's going on here, folks. The Democrats, the mainstream media, they have thrown in, and they would rather side with the illegals. That's what's going on here. All right, let's go to Winchester, Virginia, our great affiliate there, AM 1400. Mike, what's on your mind today?
Todd, I love your down-to-earth common sense and the way you express it. I just I laugh all the time and just really enjoy it.
Thank you.
And I'll tell you, that's the same thing with President Trump, just the way he can jerk around the media and the Democrats. He's got me in stitches all the time. But I wanted to get to his grade on the first 100 days, and I'm giving him a 98, an A plus. And there's always a but the 2%. I am still hoping he will prosecute these FBI leadership, CIA, the people who lied to the FISA court, who, you know, had all these criminal activities. Stacey Abrams, you know, she took part of the $2 billion, And I'm just a little concerned because he didn't prosecute Hillary Clinton in his first term. And we know she committed felonies. And I understand that's a tough one. I do. But I think they've got to, Kash Patel, they've got to go after and prosecute, charge these felonious criminal acts, or it'll just continue in the next administration, et cetera, et cetera.
You know, Mike, I'm with you on this, and that has been a longstanding concern of mine, is that there have been no punishments meted out for what I believe to be really treasonous behavior. I mean, at the when you really peel away the layers of the onion of what happened in 2016, got to go all the way back to 2016, there was an effort to sabotage a duly elected president and then to undermine him and have him removed from office under false pretense. I mean, they were flat out lying about Russia, Russia, Russia. And now we know as a result of a lot of materials that have come out that not only was Hillary Clinton deeply involved, but so was Barack Obama. And I'm with you. I truly believe that they should be serving prison time right now. They should be in a federal prison in lockup for what they did. If for no other reason, to make sure that something like this never happens again. But Mike, unfortunately, there are a lot of people within the Republican Party that don't want to go down that path. And they're just not willing to do what needs to be done.
I'm with you, Todd, and I just, you've got a platform, and I just hope you keep the drums rolling out there and putting that message out, because I think there are millions of us MAGA people who feel this way, and it really it's a disservice to our country to not go after these criminals. So I
completely agree with you, Mike, and not to mention the FBI agents who tried to spy on Catholics and who also knocked down the doors of so many pro-lifers in those pre-dawn guns-drawn raids. Every single one of them should be held accountable for their actions. Mike, thank you for that call. 901-260-5926. Let's go to Thomas in Ocala, Florida, listening to us on WOCA. Hey, Thomas, what's on your mind?
Hey, sir. Can you hear me very well?
You're coming in loud and clear, sir.
Well, I'm a Cold War veteran, served from 86 to 89 in West Germany. I was there when the wall come down, and I've seen the influx of the Eastern population flow into the Western Bloc. And 2 days later, I ended up traveling into the countryside to talk to the folks to see what life was like. I was out of the military by then, and they were scared to talk to me. They were scared to say anything. And what I understood what they were explaining was, is I read in Time magazine over there before the wall come down how people would be scooped up and interrogated. For instance, if a family member got a visa to go to, I don't know, West Germany or Spain to visit a friend or a family member, they would interrogate the rest of the family, do cruel things to some of them to get answers why the person's getting a visa. I come back in 92, the first job I got my tax, went to go do my tax return. I called my dad, which was an accountant, and he says, this business doesn't even exist. So, you know, I'm sad to see this country coming out the way it's coming out.
Are you concerned about boots on the ground, putting the military boots on the ground in America to root out, say, for example, illegals?
That's a tough question, because what I would have to say is we've been invaded. I said 4 years ago to a gunny sergeant, buddy of, well, he was a gunny sergeant until I said this. I told him we were being invaded 4 years ago. He didn't believe me. He got shunned. I told him the mask wouldn't work. I trained in chemical and biological and nuclear warfare overseas. There's so much that I know that I can't say. I said it all back then, and I got shunned I'm scared to tell what I know.
Well, let me say this, Thomas. And I appreciate your call, Thomas. But let me say this. So 143 years ago, when the Posse Comitatus Act passed, that was in 1878. I don't think anybody back then would ever have imagined a day when we would just lay down our weapons and allow the homeland to be invaded. And hear me, folks, on this. They say they estimate between 10 and 15 million illegals live in this country. I would say multiply that number. I think about 30 million illegals live in this country. And that even that number may be lowballing it. So I don't think, again, I don't believe lawmakers back in the post-Civil War days ever imagined a time when America would allow itself to be invaded. So these are extraordinary circumstances that we're living in right now, ladies and gentlemen. Now, again, when you look at the Posse Comitatus Act, all it does is prevent the military from taking part in domestic law enforcement. However, there are exceptions to that rule. One of them, for example, is the Insurrection Act. And under that law, if a state government says, hey, we are declaring an insurrection, the president can deploy the military to suppress the insurrection. So there are loopholes to this, and it is not just, boom, this is the law of the land. All right, we're going to take a quick break. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
There are injured veterans all around us living with wounds you can't see. They need your help, and they need Wounded Warrior Project.
I am Beth, and I served in the United States Army. Having a traumatic brain injury, it's living a life of frustration. Like a fog rolls in, nothing makes sense. It is extremely scary. I need help just to do everyday life.
Donate today to provide life-changing support and services to our wounded warriors.
Welcome back. Let's go to the phone lines. John in Morehead City, North Carolina. Hi, John. What's on your mind today?
Todd, I love your show. I think I have the solution. We already do it, so we don't need to redevelop the wheel. When the United States Coast Guard goes out for a drug addiction, they dub a United States naval vessel to do their work sometimes. I think we should take a platoon of Marines or a platoon of soldiers from the Army, deputize them, put them through a little bit of training so how to apprehend a person, and then the U.S. Marshal, the FBI, the ICE agent, whoever they're under by charge, will do the actual arrest, and that way you can put the military folks to attain these people, and then we can put them on a barge to their home country.
You know, John, I'm just concerned. I really am concerned about the possibility of multiple terrorist attacks happening around this country and simultaneously. And we've been told so many times I've had so many conversations with members of Congress, and they've told me on the air and off the air that they have grave concerns that there are sleeper cells here in America already waiting to act. And what happens in this country if we have, say, five or six nuclear explosions in major American cities, John?
Yeah, you're right, Todd. And I don't see how a plane ride back to their home country is going to work. But I think we should use old naval vessels or old derelict ships or a barge like they do with the LP gas, a million-gallon tanker. Just put little houses on them and float them back to their own country.
Ship them back to where they came from.
Let them be home, and I'll be happy because that would free up a lot of housing issues, too.
Well, that's fair enough.
Those people, there's a lot of housing opening.
All right. John, thank you for that call. Let's go to Davis. Hi, Davis. What's on your mind?
How you doing, Mr. Todd? Anyway, long time ago, about 50 years ago, I learned about a 60-foot-wide military reservation along our southern border established by President Roosevelt. I don't remember which Roosevelt, but it's a long time ago. Don't know if the same thing exists on the northern border or not, but that gives the military complete authority for that 60-foot. They could build fences. They could do whatever they wanted to. And I sort of thought that President Carter might have done away with that, but I heard one of Trump's officials this morning talking about it in brief. I wasn't able to turn my radio up because I was deep inside the engine compartment of a big truck. As far as the Dust Guard, one of your earlier callers was talking about, you know, she was looking at it strictly from the military point of view, you know, the active duty military, which I understand, but she was. When the National Guard works for the governor, they're law enforcement. When they work for the Department of Defense, they're military, so they have restrictions. Now, I don't know if there's a legal way to use the military in these states, but it's definitely worth looking into.
And that's all, Davis, that's all that President Trump says he wants to do here. And you're right, within the Roosevelt Reservation, there is a military zone where U.S. troops can arrest those illegals, and that's right along the U.S.-Mexico border. Davis, got to run. Folks, hang tight. We'll be right back. All right. Dylan, if the missus says we got to go on a cruise, just say no. You do not want to do this. You don't want to go on a cruise.
Uh-oh. I'm curious why.
So Carnival Cruise Line, they've kind of become the, I don't know, Spirit Airlines of the ocean. Is that a good way of framing it? Have you seen these, you have these huge mobs of thugs and thugettes, and they always beat each other up. There's always a fight at like Spirit Airlines or Southwest.
Right.
And so there's video that has surfaced from Galveston where there was a massive, I would say near riot in Galveston, Texas, at the Carnival Cruise Line. This all happened when the ship docked in Galveston. One man was seen getting pulverized on the ground by multiple people. All of this happening under the authority of U.S. Customs and Border Patrol. This is being reported by the New York Post. And the video is, it's pretty much what you would see at a Walmart or a Chuck E. Cheese or the interstate in Memphis, Tennessee, where you have massive mobs of people that are beating the holy living daylights out of each other.
Yikes. Well, at least it was docked, right?
Well, yeah. But I've also seen videos of these kinds of cruises, these Carnival cruise lines, and I'm not sure you want to be at sea with these people. I'm just saying.
Doesn't sound like a good time almost ever.
I mean, what happens if you get the last, I don't know, chicken wing on the buffet, and the next thing you know, it's a free-for-all? I'm just saying, stay on land. You're safer at Buc-ee's. According to the New York Post, it's unclear what ignited the fight. The matter was turned over to law enforcement. According to Carnival Cruise Lines, we will not tolerate such behavior. And so they're putting people, and I didn't even know this actually existed, but they're putting people on the do not sail list. So now 24 people that were involved in the fight are now no longer allowed to sail on Carnival Cruise Lines. Maybe it's just me, ladies and gentlemen, but I just remember back in the day when you went on a cruise, it was a classy thing. And now it's sort of like, you know, Walmart on the ocean. You know, people dress like slobs. It's like this. It's really, and maybe, look, I am thinking about doing one of these Viking River cruises. That looks like a lot of fun to me. But as far as getting on board one of these giant Carnival cruise lines, forget it. The last one I did was with K-Love, the Christian radio group, and they asked me to be a speaker. And I had a blast. It was a lot of fun. Standing room only for my lectures, by the way, in the lounge. It was a blast. But I will say this, there's no way I would ever get on board a Carnival cruise line. The videos that people are posting on the socials, it's like people have lost all sense of decorum and they don't know how to act in public. So I'm curious, ladies and gentlemen, have you noticed that? And would you go on a cruise like this? I just, again, the Viking River cruises look like they would be a lot of fun. And I am looking at the one. It's a seven-day cruise from Memphis to New Orleans. And it just looks like it would be a lot of fun. And by the way, if you've been on a Carnival cruise, I'd love to hear from you, actually. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Well, I want to play some audio here of this MAGA grandma. She was interviewed by MSDNC about President Trump and his first 100 days in office. Cut 16, please.
I am totally excited. Everybody I know is excited. My biggest issue is the border, and he's killing it. Well, absolutely, everybody that's here illegally should go. I'm not one of these that, oh, the poor person. No, they need to go. They came in illegally.
I like grandma. Let's go to the Old Glory Bank newsmaker line. Chase Jennings on the line with us, a great political operative. Chase, good to have you with us.
Hey, Todd, great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
So here we are 100 days out, and I'm curious your observations on how the administration is doing so far.
Well, Todd, of course, I'm extraordinarily excited about how Trump and this administration is basically getting the agenda done. There's a few buckets I look at the success that the president is having. One, Todd, honestly, I don't say this to be emotional, but I woke up grateful that Butler, Pennsylvania didn't go as the domestic terrorists had planned. We had a chance to not even have this day. And so, one, just grateful that we're here. Two, I look at it as the cabinet. Trump, he got his cabinet. It's a cabinet that a lot of people think is one of the best maybe ever as far as people who are with you and understand the agenda and support the agenda, right? Trump 1.0, which frankly I was a part of, we were always fighting tooth and nail just to get the agenda across, you know, and so we had a lot of folks that were against us there. But you look at Kash Patel, you look at DNI, you look at some of the ones, Secretary Kennedy at HHS. These were big question marks, and I didn't know, and I know you were all over these senators. I didn't know how these GOP senators were going to do, you know, and so for him to have this cabinet, they're just unbelievable. They're excellent. They're doing a great job, and we can talk about some of the numbers that each individual agency is doing. You can just cut me off anytime because I can ramble on about this goodness all day long.
Well, let me jump in for a second because I think that is a big part of it is the team that he has assembled. And I think a lot of the credit goes to Susie Wiles, the chief of staff. She is wielding an iron hammer. It's like Thor's hammer she's got. And she's making everybody toe the line. And I think this go around, when you look at the first term, I think Trump learned a lot, and everybody that he picked is on a mission to do what he wants them to do.
That's right. Democrats are going to wish that they hadn't stolen the 2020 election here. They probably already regret it. But you think about, and that was the second bucket I was just about to say, Susie Wiles, the White House staff generally. You got Caroline Leavitt, who's doing an unbelievable job as press secretary. She did a great job this morning. And just laying out exactly, you know, attacking Amazon for their absurdity. I'm sure you've probably already mentioned that new change that they're trying to make with product. Stephen Miller is just he's a guy that's been around a very long time, knows his stuff, and is fully MAGA. And so you've got people who are actually on board. And then you look at just what the agencies are doing in general, right? You've got, Fox News has a graphic where they're outlining the first 100 days accomplishments. You've got one, President Trump has gone through 142 executive orders. Now, we do need Congress, obviously, to act on a lot of those to get them codified into law, but that shows a man who's on a mission, just like you mentioned just a moment ago. And then you've got, a lot of people don't even realize this, but there's been 26 American hostages released around the world, which that doesn't even get a lot of coverage. Most of your listeners may not even heard that. $160 billion in Doge cut. Right. That's a lot of that is the DEI garbage, the contracts, the USAID that was going to these groups that don't like us to begin with. Right. Why would we be giving money to these companies in these countries that don't like us? And then there were 65,000 deportations. And that is with, Todd, the element of the judiciary literally trying to stop President Trump at every turn. It's like that. I like that grandma, what she said too. I mean, again, this is what people voted for, and President Trump has been all over it.
Chase Jennings is on our Old Glory Bank Newsmaker line today. You know, Chase, moving ahead, and of course, everybody is already starting to talk about the midterms and whether or not the Republicans are going to be able to maintain control of Congress. And I am curious to get your take on how Congress has been doing in your estimation. I give them a D. Maybe I'll be generous, a D plus. They've only codified out of all those it's really more than 150 executive orders. They've only codified, I think, 5 compared to 11 during Biden's first 100 days. So I'm just curious, what does Congress look like for you?
Congress is the big question. They've got to get moving. There were some complaints earlier this week that they've been in recess too many days. And I would agree with that. I think when you've got a president who is moving as fast as Donald Trump, a man who, as his staff, you'll get a call at 4:30 in the morning from him, and he expects you to know what's going on, right? He's the man who's getting things done. And so Congress needs to match that type of intensity to help save the country. We got immigration. We need to fund the border. We've got to have more agents. We've got to do what's necessary to, by law, within congressional authority, to do what President Trump wants, right? We've got to get the economy going. These tax cuts have got to get through Congress, right? There are several things, the manufacturing with company investment into the United States. What does that look like, and how can Congress help make sure that our efforts are not just going by the wayside, right? You've got OMB is going to be deregulating like crazy. How can Congress, with OMB, remove some of these regulations for good? Because, right, a lot of this stuff, as you know, Todd, it goes back and forth, right? You had the EPA under Obama does one thing, under Trump does another, under Biden does another. And so we have this back and forth. Well, Congress needs to just make it law, some of these things that we're looking at. And so I'm with you. I do wish they would be more active. And certainly, again, when you look at the veracity at which Trump is getting things done, Congress has to match that blow for blow.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And I know you give counsel to a lot of people, you know, wanting to run for office, looking at jumping into races. What advice would you give to Republican candidates that are, you know, or people, Republicans that are running for re-election? What advice do you give those folks?
Well, the hope is they're supportive of the president's agenda, right? Again, I don't know how many folks are still out there of the bulwark that are trying to subvert the president's agenda, but obviously you got to look at what the president is doing and look for ways to be creative and how you can be supportive, right? On the state and local level, how can you do things within your city, within your state, that are going to get things done and be productive for the people that you're serving, right? And so I was looking at Department of Labor numbers earlier, Trump has added 345,000 jobs, right? We've secured $5.2 trillion in investment. So my point in saying that is the agenda works. The support is there. And so if you're thinking about getting in the fight, which I encourage anyone to do who really feels called to do it, obviously it's something that you have to really think about, talk about. But if it's something that you really feel like you're supposed to be doing, then look at how Trump has been successful and emulate that and how you're running for office.
Yeah, it's a great idea. And again, when you look at what happened across the border, I don't want to get too deep in the weeds here, but the complete obliteration of the conservative candidate in that race, it's the reason why is that the candidate went back on his conservative principles and put a lot of distance between himself and Donald Trump. And I think even in a foreign country, that is the wrong path to take. So it just seems to me if you embrace Trump and the agenda, that is a winning formula for candidates here in America. All right, Chase, we're going to have to leave it there. Where can people go if they want to follow you and get more intel on you?
I'm on X at Chase_Jennings. I also write for Red State at redstate.com. And then I've got JenningsStrategyGroup.com for anybody who's looking for help with anything politically.
All right, good stuff. Chase Jennings, ladies and gentlemen. Chase, good hearing from you. We'll get you back on soon.
Thank you, Todd. Appreciate it.
All right. Good guy right there. Coming up, by the way, a little bit later on, Congressman Troy Nels from Texas will be joining us. I want to play some audio. This is from an American school teacher, and this guy is a sub. So he's taken a little part-time job, so he decided, you know what, I'm gonna do a substitute teaching gig. And he was so stunned by what he saw in the classroom that he posted this on the socials. Take a listen.
I thought y'all was lying to me on this app when y'all said that these kids didn't know nothing. These kids don't know like nothing, nada. They don't know basic math, like addition, subtraction, division, fractions, multiplication. They don't know none of that. And it is really sad. They can tell you what a gay person is, what's bisexual, what did Diddy do, what kind of gun this is, who sang this song, the lyrics to that. And they know all of that. They know what studs and dykes is, but they don't know what basic math is. Parents, what are y'all doing? Y'all are failing y'all kids. It is not on these teachers. All that they're doing there is just talk, play around, horse around. Y'all got work to do. Like, I'm not understanding. And they don't even understand why they don't understand. And that's more confusing. Like, what?
Yeah, I'm I'm with this guy. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall in the classroom. And you know what? I wonder if the guy was actually able to teach the kids something. But, you know, he raises an interesting point, and he's got a great point, actually. It's not the teacher's fault. If you are sending to your child to the local school and you have raised that kid to be, I don't know, behave like an animal or a savage, and you don't teach that kid anything, and so they show up and they don't know what a fork is supposed to be used for or a spoon, or maybe they don't even realize they need to be wearing pants, that's on you. And it just seems to me, and I'm just curious here. We're gonna take an impromptu poll of our vast audience here, and I'm just curious, ladies and gentlemen, when you went to grade school, let's say you started first grade, when you showed up for first grade, did you know how to read? Because I know in the Starnes household, my mom made sure that I knew how to read before I stepped 1 foot inside a school building. So I'm just curious, what about you? Did your parents make sure that you knew how to read before they actually got to school? 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back.
On immigration in total, but everything else, he's sort of underwater. And particularly on the economy, tariffs, and inflation, he's well underwater. You've still got some work to do on that front. A lot of people think that he's spending too much time on tariffs and not enough time on the economy and lowering prices. What do you say?
Well, I don't want to make things awkward for you, John, but it is our opinion that Fox News needs to fire its pollster. And I won't surprise you with that. I don't think you're surprised that I'm saying that. But the Fox News pollster has always been wrong about President Trump. They were the ones that said all summer long that Kamala Harris was going to be the 47th president of the United States. So we don't acknowledge any of that poll.
Good for you, Stephen Miller. I'm very happy to hear the administration pushing back here. You know, the challenge with Fox is their pollsters really are left-leaning, and their polling data has just never been accurate. So I'm very excited to see Stephen Miller pushing back, and he did so respectfully. I mean, you know, you got to do that sometimes. You just have to. By the way, coming up 5 o'clock Eastern on the Todd Stern Show, Senator Marsha Blackburn is going to join us. Also, Congressman Kevin Hearn for you folks out in Oklahoma. And we're going to have we're also going to be talking to the parent, one of the parents who their child had to go through a graphic sex ed class, even though they had opted their child out of the class. And also Congressman Eric Burleson. Want to remind you, Newsmax just went public, by the way, on the New York Stock Exchange, listed on the big board. Millions joining the news revolution. Reuters says Newsmax, one of the top 12 news brands in America. And President Trump says it is terrific. 40 million Americans now go to Newsmax, and its audience grew 50%. The same time last year. Millions are really making the switch to Newsmax. All right, don't forget 5 o'clock Eastern, the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax. Hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back. Hour three of the big show coming up.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Very happy to have you with us today. Write down our telephone number. You will need it if you plan on calling into the show, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. And we are commemorating the first 100 days of the Trump White House. How do you think the president's doing? What would you like to see the president do that he is not doing? So give us a call, 901-260-5926. I want to play some audio today. This is from the sheriff in Riverside County, California, and putting out a warning that Democrats are moving forward on legislation that would make it basically a crime to protect your home. Take a listen.
Hello, California. Riverside County Sheriff Chad Bianco. For more than a decade, the leadership in Sacramento has literally tied the hands of law enforcement and made it almost impossible for us to protect you. Now, they are coming after you and your ability to protect yourself. Under a new bill, AB 1333, by California Assembly Member from Santa Monica, Rick Chavez Spur, you will no longer be allowed to protect yourself when confronted by violent criminals. Under this bill, if a criminal attacks you or your family and you defend yourself, and that criminal dies as a result of his criminal behavior, you could be arrested and charged with murder. Now let me make this very, very clear. You have a constitutional and a God-given right to protect yourself. You actually have that right under California law. But our California Democrat leadership and Assemblymember Spur say, no, you don't. It is time we stand up to this insanity in Sacramento. I am asking all of you to contact your local elected officials in Sacramento and tell them that this bill needs to be removed from the assembly floor. Contact Assemblymember Spur's office and demand this bill be removed. Californians deserve far better than what we are getting from our Democrat leadership and our assembly members and senators in Sacramento. We demand better. We deserve better.
So that's not the only crazy thing going down in the state capitol in California. So there's another piece of legislation, folks. It's just unbelievably insane. But according to KCRA Television, which is one of the top TV stations in Sacramento, Democrats in the state house have blocked a bill that would crack down on child sex trafficking. So a Republican state senator by the name of Shannon Grove introduced a bill to make it a felony to buy a child under the age of 18 for sex. So in other words, if you're a pervert and you're out there and you're wanting to purchase someone to have sex with, it would be a felony to do that to somebody under the age of 18. Right now, it is a misdemeanor in the state of California, a misdemeanor. But Democrats in the state house blocked that. And they will not allow a felony charge to apply to those. And by the way, they wanted to make that felony. So if you're buying someone that is 16 to 17 years old, that would be a felony. They're, now the Democrats are saying, no, no, we're not going there. No, 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 we're not going to do that. All right. Who in their right mind thinks this is okay? This is insanity. By the way, though, KCRA, you got to love how these people always give cover to the Democrats. The headline, California lawmakers to block effort to make it a felony to buy a 16 and 17-year-old for sex. No. The correct headline is California Democrats. I really do hope that the Republicans can get their act together in California and make some headway here, because they are, if you thought California was Sodom and Gomorrah, not even close to that. Not unbelievable. Even the mayors of Sodom and Gomorrah are blushing over all of this nonsense. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to Tony in Atlanta. Hi, Tony. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Todd, I appreciate you taking my call. You know, when I heard you share that just a moment ago about you can't defend your home, I thought it was a joke. You're obviously saying that that's what they're the legislation is, to not be able to defend your home. Did I hear that correctly?
Yeah, you just heard that. That was the sheriff of Riverside County, California, one of the largest. And we're talking about 2 million people live in that county, so it's pretty huge. And the sheriff is putting out the all call.
You know what? California has been crazy for years, but I can promise you one thing, Todd. That would never fly in the state of Georgia. I don't know what's happened. I don't know if DEI has just blown the brains of these people. I have no idea. But it's just hard to believe we live in an America that this type of law could be passed to where you couldn't even defend yourself against criminals. It just does not make any sense. I appreciate you sharing this with us today, and I really like your show, Todd.
Well, Tony, I appreciate you saying that, and thank you for listening. Look, it's really frustrating, but we've got to talk about these things, because California is not going to change. It's not going to change, ladies and gentlemen, unless good, right-minded people stand up with a ferocity and get out to the ballot box. I mean, the problem with California is strictly a political problem. It is. They have got the wrong people in office. California is a super majority Democrat state. And so the Republicans have no power at all in the state house. And that's just, it's insanity. But the idea that you are not allowed to defend your own home against home invaders, come on. And Tony's right about this. I can only speak to my people in the southern states. But that kind of nonsense won't fly down here. I'm just telling you. All right, let's go to Debbie in Cape Coral, Florida. Hi, Debbie. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Todd. First of all, just so I can put a plug in for the best congressman out there is Byron Donalds, which I just love.
Hold on, Debbie. Hold on. You can't just do a name drop like that. I mean, do you think he's going to be the next governor of your great state?
We are all praying that he will be. I mean, he is spot on. He's got all the economic, you know, wherewithal to run this state. And he's, you know what, Todd? He's level-minded and he's smart. And I say, go for it. We are all hoping that he's going to make that vote count.
Well, he's a great patriot. We love Byron Donalds on this program. He's been a great congressman. I think he would have made a great vice president, but so is J.D. Vance, and he's going to make a great governor of the great state of Florida.
Absolutely. We want him here. But I agree with you, Todd, 100% on Michelle Obama saying that she can't sleep at night because of these illegals. I guess she was sleeping like a baby when her husband was running around deporting millions of illegals. She was probably eating her lobster and going into a food coma. I mean, it's ridiculous. We've got to be standing and supporting the DOD that will go out into our nation and stop the violence that is occurring in America. I'm all for it. If we don't stand up, we're going to be looking like the UK in a matter of a year or so. We've got to stop this violence on Americans.
Well, I don't want to cause undue alarm here, Debbie, but the greater threat are all of these Muslims that are coming into the country, and there is absolutely zero assimilation, and that is a grave concern. We had a pastor, Michael Youssef, from Church of the Apostles, a very prominent church in the Atlanta area, and he came on the program and said flat out that the rise of Islam is a direct, clear, and present danger to Western civilization.
I believe, I agree. I concur 100%. And we are all just sitting around. It's like we're watching the pot boil and nobody's doing anything. And that's why I support our president. I pray for him every night. And the staff that he has got, you're spot on. He has got the best cabinet out there. And we just got to lift up these men and women that are working with Trump so that we can get something done and forget the malarkey coming out of the media. They're just lying. They're just that forked-tongued liar.
Yeah, big time. Debbie, great call, and thank you for listening. And tell all of your friends in Cape Coral to tune into the show. So thank you for that call. 901-260-5926. By the way, that assembly bill the sheriff in California was talking about, that's 1333. And he said the bill will essentially make self-defense illegal in the state of California. But what it does is it narrows the criteria for justifiable homicide. And the sheriff there in Riverside, California says, no, that bill is just going to embolden criminals to get out there. It is a very dangerous piece of legislation. All right, I want to go right away to the Old Glory Bank Newsmaker line and say hello to our good friend, the congressman from Texas, Troy Nels. Congressman, hope you're doing well today.
Hey, Todd, how are you? Hello to you and all your listeners.
You know, I'm curious, Congressman, as we mark this 100 days, there's still a lot of work that Congress needs to do to codify all of these amazing executive orders. Do you see that happening between now and the midterms?
Well, I know. I was in a meeting yesterday, and I know that leadership is well aware that the numerous executive orders that Trump spoke about in the campaign. We need to get to work on those executive orders. There's been so much, though. But in defense to leadership, we've had so much going on now with reconciliation that it's just it's been pretty busy. We've got a few the next couple months. We're up here 3 weeks each for the next 3 months. So we have so much work to do. But reconciliation right now, I think, is the priority. It's going to include Trump's tax cuts, which are very, very critical. It's going to help small business. It's going to be good for America and its people.
So is that going to happen? Are we going to see that reconciliation package get through?
Well, I hope so, because we start our hearings tomorrow. There's 11 committees of jurisdiction that are involved in this reconciliation. Obviously, energy and commerce and ways and means with the tax cuts, and energy and commerce with health care, they are two major players in this. But on transportation and judiciary, we also play a role. So those markups, those hearings, will take place over the next few days, and hopefully they will run smoothly. It's going to be partisan, though. Reconciliation, you just need a simple majority. So I don't think we should be sitting in those hearings listening to the Democrats too much complain, because we are the majority. We need to start acting like it and get Trump's agenda through the House, through the Senate, so he can continue to lead our country.
You got to light a fire under him, Congressman. Light a fire under him.
It's an interesting place up here. I'll tell you that, Todd. But I tell you, we got a lot of people up here. We're excited to be back to work. We look at the first 100 days. And you know these people out there. Did you see MSLSD and ABC and NBC say Trump's approval rating, they're low? I don't believe in any of those polls. No one should be surprised at what President Donald Trump has done in the first 100 days. He telegraphed it. He told everybody for the last several months of the campaign, this is what he's going to do, and he's following through on those promises. So it's just more fake news from the dishonest media, which is the greatest threat to our country, the dishonest media.
Congressman, I got about a minute here, and this is the top story, the headline breaking at Fox News. Elise Stefanik undercut Speaker Johnson in stunning public House GOP spat. Are you hearing rumblings? Is there a little bit of Is there some issues going on there?
No, I don't think so. I think that's just some more information and stuff that I don't believe that. I really don't. I think that Elise Stefanik, obviously she was our conference chair. I think she has a great working relationship with Mike Johnson, and there would be no upside for Elise Stefanik or Mike Johnson to be sideways with each other at this point in time. I just don't see the upside to that. I think obviously Elise Stefanik had that, Trump, the boss, wanted her to be UN secretary. And obviously with the thin majority that we have here, he needed her back here. So
gotcha.
I believe that they have a great relationship, and I wouldn't take too much stock, put too much stock into that article.
All right, good stuff. Congressman, we're going to have to leave it there. We are super late for a break, but we certainly appreciate you coming on the show. Good luck tomorrow.
Yes, sir. God bless.
All right, Congressman Troy Nels out of Texas on the Old Glory Bank Newsmaker line. And folks, hang tight. We are going to need to take a quick break. And when we return, going right to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Again, you've heard the news. It's very exciting. Newsmax just went public on the New York Stock Exchange and listed on the big board. Millions of Americans like you are joining our news revolution. Reuters says Newsmax is one of the top 12 news brands in America. Even President Trump says Newsmax is terrific. 40 million Americans go to Newsmax. Audience growing 50% since the same time last year. Millions really are making the switch to Newsmax. And if you want to be a Newsmax share owner, call your advisor or get more information at NewsmaxInvest.com. You can stand with Newsmax today for a strong America. This communication is for informational purposes only and shall not be intended to and shall not constitute an offer to buy or sell securities, nor shall there be any sale of securities in any jurisdiction in which such offer, solicitation, or sale would be unlawful.
You know, Todd, by Sacramento sitting there saying that people cannot protect their own homes if they're being invaded, they cannot protect themselves, just open the door up for multiple criminals and multiple homicides to start happening by making that statement. What they just did is going to be bad.
Yeah, thank you. That's Mark calling us from the Villages. By the way, Mark left us a shout out. You say, how do I do that? It's very simple. Go to my website, download my app, and you can leave us a quick shout out. So maybe you can't wait on hold. You can just record a quick message and we play those back throughout the program. And again, ToddStearns.com, and click on the app tab at the top of the page. By the way, folks, just want to remind you, pre-orders still underway for my brand new book. It'll be in bookstores on June 17th. And I am very excited for you to read this very awesome inspirational book. It's called Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. And I take you through American history and show you how God used mighty men to accomplish his work in this country. So the name of the book, Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. Pre-order a copy right now at Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Amazon, wherever you get your books. You can pre-order online, and we're urging you to do that so we don't sell out on day one like we did in the last book. Star Spangled Blessings, available right now for pre-order at your favorite bookstore. Well, back in the day, I was a big American Idol guy back when it was actually good. This season, though, there's been a lot of headlines, and people are really excited. Apparently, one of the guys, a country music young kid, country music star, sounds like Dwight Yoakam and writes his own music, just incredible. But the big story coming out of American Idol, there's a lot of controversy because Carrie Underwood decided to have a faith-based American Idol Easter show. Now, the critics are saying, and they're talking to all the Hollywood rags about this, they're very upset because the entire show was based on Christianity. So the songs were faith-based songs, And a lot of critics said there was no place. I'm not kidding you here, folks. There's no place for songs about Jesus on American Idol on Easter Sunday. Now, keep in mind, if you've been following the American Idol history, Carrie Underwood, of course, you know, will hold Jesus Take the Wheel. You've got Colton Dixon. There are many others who became Christian music stars as a result of their time on American Idol. So I don't think it's that weird. But the Stanfords now, apparently, they want to kick Jesus out of Carrie Underwood's car. And they're saying that she's the reason why ratings are going down. It was a three-hour Easter episode, and it was the first time in 23 seasons that they sang songs about Jesus. Oh, and she ended the whole thing with a beautiful rendition of How Great Thou Art. That was pretty cool. So there you go. I don't get it. Maybe it's just me. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. 901-260-5926. Ron in North Carolina. Hi, Ron. What's going on?
Hello there, Todd. How are you today?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
I enjoy your show from time to time when I can listen to it, and I do enjoy your comments. One comment I like to make is you have congressmen on your show from time to time, and they're always complaining about how much work they have to do. Well, I think if they got paid according to how much work they did, they wouldn't get any money at all because they're not doing a thing. Personally, I don't see what they got to complain about. They're always on vacation. They always are going somewhere on the taxpayer's dime. And these people are just, they're just freeloaders as far as I'm concerned.
So what do you think we ought to do here about this, Ron?
I think they ought to get paid according to what they do, not according to what they're claim they do. If they don't pass a bill this month, they don't get paid anything this month. If they don't pass a bill this year, then they don't get paid at all this year. They don't get any money. I'm talking about nada, nothing.
So and I did, So Ron, I did a little bit of research, and I went back to Inauguration Day, and I tallied up the number of days that Congress has actually been in session, that the House has been in session. Are you ready for this, Ron? 55 days. That's all they've worked since the start of January, January 25th. 55 days. That's it.
They don't work those days. They're actually in there trying to drum up money.
So, now, look, I get it. And Ron, we've got a super bad connection, so I appreciate you calling in. But let me say this. I have a great congressman in my district. He is back here on the weekends, and he has, I think, 16 counties or so, some ginormous number of counties that David Kustoff represents. And that guy works his tail off for the people of the district. And I know a lot of these folks are back in their district doing things, meeting with constituents and whatnot, and I don't begrudge them for that. But what I've got a problem with is the fact that we have not codified President Trump's agenda. And there is just no excuse for that. But when you are dismissing Congress and you're recessing Congress for that amount of time, I mean, just think about this. We're what, 4 months, almost 5 months into the year, and Congress has only worked 55 days. And you're surprised, ladies and gentlemen, that nothing is getting done? By the way, something is going on with House leadership. It's not good. And I know that Nels, and maybe it was a little unfair to just spring that on him, but it's the lead story over at Fox, and something is going on. And it tells me that all is not well, and there is not unity within the Republican caucus. And Lee Stefanik, I suspect, is still pretty hot under the collar that she had to give up the ambassadorship because of the narrow margins in the House. I think ultimately that's what's going on here. But I am just telling you, all is not well, ladies and gentlemen. 901-260-5926, our telephone number, that's 901-260-5926. Want to play some audio? This is from Albany High School in New York State. where a school board member is now announcing that activists are coming onto campus and they're showing students what to do if ICE shows up at their front door. Take a listen.
Yesterday, I did have the experience and privilege of being at the high school with the International Club, where the director of operations from RISE was doing a presentation with students there. And so it was fascinating because those little cards, red cards, I don't think many of the students have had that education of what to do if ICE approaches or, you know, whatever the situation might be. And so they were like this and asking questions. And we even did, you know, a demonstration of, you know, a knock at the door and how to respond. So it was very engaged. I think it was maybe about 20, 25 students. And only two were from this country originally. That's how diverse our schools are.
That is a shocking thing. Not surprising, though, but still shocking. And this is very simple. There needs to be somebody at the White House who monitors all of this stuff. And what needs to happen is somebody needs to reach out to the school district in Albany, New York, and explain that they will no longer receive any federal funding. If you are going to interfere with immigration customs enforcement officers and you are going to harbor illegals, then you will lose your federal funding. I mean, it really is that simple, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what's so hard about all of this. All right, we've got to take a quick break here, folks. Again, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, folks, just a reminder here, as we're going through the trade wars and the tariffs, it is so vitally important to make sure that you have access to the medications, the prescriptions you need, which is why you need to seriously right now go to the Wellness Company and check out all of their very important products. Not only do they have some incredible access to meds like ivermectin, for example, and Z-Pak, you're also going to get some incredible supplements as well. I want to give you the website address, twc.health/starns. That's twc.health/starns. Use my promo code, my last name, Starns, and it will unlock all sorts of wonderful discounts for you. Well, I want to go right away to our Old Glory Bank newsmaker line. Say hello to Dr. Kelly Victory, the chief of disaster and emergency medicine with the Wellness Company. Dr. Victory, hope you're doing well today.
Great. Thanks very much for having me, Todd.
You know, we've been following a lot of developments from the McCullough Foundation, and they've uncovered a fascinating, I'm just intrigued by this, a new study that shows ivermectin is showing promise in combating cancer. Is this right?
Yes. Well, let me set the stage by saying first that 30% of all prescriptions written are for what we call repurposed drugs, meaning that the drug is being used for something for which it was not initially intended. And there are many, many, many hundreds of examples. We have chemotherapy drugs that treat psoriasis and blood pressure medications that treat migraines and on and on. So, yes, we are now understanding that ivermectin, initially discovered as an antiparasitic drug in 1975, ultimately approved for use in humans in 1986, that drug not only treats parasites, it also has very profound antiviral effects and anti-inflammatory effects. And lo and behold, is showing tremendous promise in the treatment of cancers, both with and without standard chemotherapy drugs. It turns out, actually, this has been known in the veterinary world for some decades. Veterinarians have been using ivermectin to treat cancers in dogs and cats for more than 30 years. The data is now just really starting to come to surface in the human world, and it is showing really, as I said, quite a great effect on the treatment not only of solid tumors of the breast, the colon, the pancreas, and elsewhere, but also of bloodborne tumors, or bloodborne cancers, I should say, lymphomas and leukemias. So this is indeed a really exciting discovery, because ivermectin is not only so inexpensive, but it is so safe and has almost no discernible negative side effects.
I'm just really fascinated by this because it just seems to me, and I may be off base in my observations here, it seems to me that cancer is almost big business these days, and you don't really hear about these kinds of reports that something like ivermectin could actually be helpful in combating cancer.
Well, it is, in fact, big business. And unfortunately, the tragedy, really, Todd, is that standard chemotherapy, which is really quite toxic, it not only is intended to kill cancer cells, but unfortunately kills a heck of a lot of healthy cells in the meantime, and people can end up with profound negative side effects, not only nausea and vomiting, weight loss, hair loss, heart damage, nerve damage, but frankly, it hasn't shown great effectiveness on actually increasing or extending life in people who have cancer. In contradistinction, ivermectin has, as I said, almost no negative side effects. It's incredibly safe, very well tolerated, and is incredibly inexpensive, yet is showing remarkable effects in not only treating cancers, as I said, whether or not you use other chemotherapy or radiation, but also potentially in the prevention of cancer. So we need a lot more studies, but I think that, and unfortunately, there's not a lot of money to be made in those studies because the drug is so cheap. So these studies will have to likely be done by academicians and people on the government side. It is unlikely to be driven by big pharma, because they simply don't stand to make any money on selling ivermectin and to treat cancer.
And that's what really gets me, because, I mean, during the China virus pandemic, you had ivermectin really stepping up as being one of the super drugs for fighting COVID. But the biopharmaceutical complex, they just seem so opposed to utilizing drugs like ivermectin. Why do you think that is?
Well, it's multifaceted. Number one, they didn't want to use ivermectin because the vaccines were available only under the emergency use authorization. The vaccines were not FDA approved. And one of the stipulations for a vaccine to be made available, or any drug under emergency use authorization, is that there are no other treatments available. So had they acknowledged that ivermectin was a great and very efficacious treatment for ivermectin for a COVID, which it was, we knew that it was, and we treated thousands of patients effectively with it. But if the biopharmaceutical complex had acknowledged that, or the government acknowledged it, they would not have been allowed to keep the vaccines on the market under the emergency use stipulation. Furthermore, Big Pharma is always wedded to brand new, highly expensive drugs like Remdesivir and Paxlovid. So they, you know, turned their noses up and turned a blind eye to the overwhelming data about the efficacy of the inexpensive, well-tolerated, you know, highly available ivermectin in order to push their newer drugs like Remdesivir.
And again, folks, going to the wellness company's website, twc.health/starnes. And when you go there, if you subscribe, you're going to save 10%. Listeners of my show, you're going to save nearly $30 at checkout with code Starnes. And they have all sorts of incredible products. And you could spend all day on their website. It's so well done. You can get supplements, medical kits. I have multiple emergency medical kits. I have the contagion emergency kit as well. You're also going to get information on healthy living and all sorts of great memberships. And Dr. Kelly, this is really what it's all about. It's about changing lifestyles.
Absolutely. And it's about allowing people personal choice to be able to access the drugs, the supplements, the medications, whatever it is that will enhance their overall health and wellness without having uninvited third parties in the exam room, namely insurance companies, big pharma, and certainly the government. And we have tried to remove all of those things at the wellness company to bring the practice of medicine and the practice of healthcare back to the way it was intended to be, where people have personal choice and have a sacrosanct relationship between themselves and their clinician.
All right. Well, Dr. Kelly, we're going to have to leave it there. We are coming up on the top of the hour, but lots of great intel. And I know our listeners are going to want to go check out twc.health/starns for all the great products that you guys have at the Wellness Company. Thank you again.
Thanks very much for having me.
All right. And keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, of what happened. The government limited access to ivermectin during the pandemic, which is why you need to stock up, because you never know when the government, you know, again, President Trump were safe, but you never know when your local state government might try to do something to limit your access, which is why you need to get them now. And I would encourage you to go to twc.health/starns and check out all of the great things. Say you don't want a supply of ivermectin, that's okay. They've got lots of incredible supplements for a restful sleep, healthy heart, if you need elevated energy. They've got all of those wonderful products for you, and I take a good many of them. Also, bone and joint support, weight management and digestion, you name it, they've got it. And the Wellness Company, of course, have been longtime supporters of the Todd Starnes Radio Show. And we really appreciate them because many of you have already taken advantage of their great discounts, their great offers, and many of you are prepared. And that's what the medical emergency kits and things like that, that's why those are so vitally important, because you want to be self-sufficient. You want to be prepared. You don't need to be relying on the government for important medicines. So be sure to check that out. Again, twc.health/starns. All right, tonight it is going to be a wild evening on Newsmax. President Trump just moments ago took off for Michigan. He'll be holding a huge rally this evening celebrating that first 100 days in office. The president also expected to make an announcement about some tariffs as well. We'll keep you updated on that. And again, the Todd Starnes Show starts at 5 o'clock Eastern. Senator Marsha Blackburn kicks things off as we commemorate these huge, huge developments coming out of the White House today. Been a lot of fun. Hey, folks, in the meantime, head over to toddstearns.com. That is an all-free website. You got to love that. You can get a free podcast, free newsletters. You can read all of our content free of charge. Just go check it out and bookmark our page. It's been a lot of fun, everybody. Get out there. Have a great one, and you be good, America.